Episode 4.
The fourth episode.
Episode number 4.
Now, there's good. there are three ways that we introduce this episode, because we have three people again. However, this lineup, we hope, is going to be a bit more permanent.
Yes. So,
hang on. This is news to me. I thought I was just doing this once.
Well.
I've not committed to anything.
There's clearly been a misunderstanding at some point. If you're looking to me for the truth, I don't have it.
Okay, well.
But
the truth? You can't handle the truth.
Yes. So, to explain, as you all know, if you are listening, this podcast is usually hosted by two Bryant brothers. So that's me, I'm Peter.
And me, Nick. I'm Nick.
That's Nick. But what most of you will not know, because we hide him.
Yes. We literally keep him a secret.
And don't talk about him. There is a third Bryant brother who age-wise sits between Nick and I, and that is Will.
But intelligence-wise sits way below both of us.
Mm-hmm. So...
objection, Your Honour. Do you know what it's like?
What's it like?
It's like you two, Moss and Roy, and I'm Richmond.
That does make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just hide behind my door. My dark door, and you don't acknowledge that I exist until for some hilarious quest or something like that, I'm summoned for something like this.
What's our quest for this evening?
Yeah,
to entertain the masses.
The masses.
How many followers do you guys have? Like a few hundred thousand, right?
Well, I mean, we're
basically famous now, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you are listening to us, it would be wonderful to hear from you. We know that you exist because our podcast hosting platform tells us that people listen.
Yeah, so you can't hide from us.
Indeed. But last time we recorded, I said it'd be great if you're listening, if you have a comment or a question, or you want to challenge one of the things that we said, because often we talk about subjects about which we have very little knowledge.
Yeah, we shouldn't. Yeah.
Which we shouldn't.
We are men, and we just plough on confidently, because that's what we do, despite being very ignorant.
But I invited you, listener, the listener.
The listener singular.
The one listener.
The listener singular. to go to anchor.fm/brothersbryant, and you can actually leave us a text comment, like you can send us a message, or you can send us a voice recording, and we can then incorporate that into the podcast. And I'm telling you, I'm here to report officially that zero people have done that so far.
So there's still you two might see that as a shame. I see it as an opportunity. Because there's someone out there still, could be you, listener. That's right, I'm looking at you.
The listener.
The listener. You could be, I'm looking at you.
This is not a video podcast. surprise, it's a YouTube channel now.
Surprise, I'm outside your bedroom window with a pair of binoculars.
It's like a breakfast show. It's like, I'm not actually in your telly, I've broken into your house and I'm making toast.
Have you ever watched Breakfast Television? You know that's not.
I have.
It's not just people on television making breakfast.
No. There's Breakfast TV, which is, you know, Bill Turnbull is on. He's in a kitchen and he's making toast and stuff. And then there's daytime TV, which is like, I don't know, Susanna Reid or
it's just people during the daytime.
You know, making a,
I mean, to be
making
fair,
a sandwich.
That is actually quite an apt description of a lot of daytime TV. Yeah. It's just people going about their days. Hello, we're joined by a man who has just bought a house and is now living in it.
John, is this your house? Yes, that's good, isn't it? Yes, it's very good. This is Mitchell and Webb look, isn't it? Daytime TV covers. Oh, before I go on, the opportunity that I see is that there is a listener out there, you listener, and you could be the first person to send us in a a voice note or a text, and you know, you will go down in fame as you know, you could end up being the answer to a quiz question on you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something. Who was the first person to send in a voice comment to the famed podcast, The Brothers Bryant? But so that could be you. Imagine the opportunity. Imagine the fame. Wow. But I was, yeah. So I was saying about daytime TV. You say it's about people's daily lives. Now, I've been a student. I am a student, and I've watched my fair share of daytime TV. And it would seem to me that a lot of people's daytime, you know, every day to day is going around arguing with people about whose baby is whose, and how are you my husband? Why,
Jeremy Kyle got cancelled.
Jeremy Kyle did get cancelled.
They don't do it anymore. They don't. Thank goodness.
It was a terrible, terrible show. Because it just sort of the jokes are, you know, people's expenses, and I don't like that.
We're going to exploit poor people for your entertainment. Yay!
That really should be the slogan of the BBC.
Capitalism.
Capitalism. You know, not a day goes by that I don't think, damn, capitalism is not the ideal solution in this world. You know, there's...
Well, yes. Don't we all think that?
Yeah. I was thinking the other day... Because... Politics is, and I'm not going to get political about politics. I'm going to talk about politics from a non-subjective point of view. Because politics...
Is that possible?
Yeah, so politics, we think about it as having a spectrum, don't we? You know, the spectrum. You've got got the left and you've got the right, and you know, all manner of things in between.
I appreciate your hand gesture demonstration, but just so you are aware... That this is the format of this media is audio.
Sorry, I can't. I'm a very visual person, which is why I struggle with this medium.
I also keep nodding as if that's something relevant that I'm adding to the conversation.
Listener, if you too are a visual person, I encourage you to find a picture of us online while you listen.
and if it's Will, just like shake it forwards and backwards every so often to pretend he's nodding.
We could turn this into a puppet show, or we could do an animation to it or something.
I think that would be. Oh, isn't that what they did for that? There was a BBC show where they just went around and they interviewed people. Just write normal people, just like about normal stuff, and then they put the audio over pictures of animals moving their mouths, like in the wild.
That's where that the video of like the, was it a marmot or a meerkat or something that was like Steve, Steve, Alan,
you know, on my way to work, there have been 3 or 4 times now where I've walked past a specific bit in town in Warrington where I live, and I hear someone shouting Steve. Steve, exactly like that video.
How about this for a story, Will? There's somebody in the barbershop chorus that Nick and I direct called, whose name, and I'm not kidding you, is Steve Allen.
And if he's listening, Steve, do send us a voice note.
Yeah, do send us a voice note.
Have you done that?
Whenever he walks into a room, the entire room erupts and goes, Steve! Steve! Allen! It's very good. Anyway, Nick, talk to us non-subjectively about politics.
I was thinking about this the other day, because as I've mentioned before, I'm a mathematician. And I was thinking, because politics, you can view it as a spectrum, there is a sort of continuum going on. You can say something is more right-wing than another thing, or something is more left-wing than another thing. So there's an idea of things being more than something else, or less than something else, which kind of means you could assign a number system, a number system to politics, right? So say -1 is extreme leftism, and +1 is extreme right. So you get 0 is,
now,
is,
hold,
is
hold
the centre.
You've just introduced some subjectivity there. Why isn't extreme left wing +1 and extreme right wing -1?
It doesn't
I
matter.
Object.
You could have it either way.
Left to right, doesn't it?
You could if you wanted to. You could do it between 1 and 100, and then have 50 in the middle, if you wanted to. But -1, 1, and 0 is convenient. Right.
Didn't they already? You know that isn't that? It isn't what you've just invented, that political compass website that already exists.
I've not looked at it because I'm not interested in politics. but I'm just thinking about this. And if you wanted to, you could. So you basically what you do is you assign a number to every single point on this continuum. So like 0 would be absolute centrist.
That'll do. Centrism is a good word.
Yeah, and then what you could do is you could assign some parameters to everything that politics concerns. Now, that's easier said than done. But, you sort of assign numerical values to, you know numerical values like how much money do you invest in services, or how much money do you invest in infrastructure, or things like this, or what groups of people do you prioritize. You could put numbers on all of these things. And then what you could also have is the ideal outcomes. And essentially, you could boil it down to solving an equation where the solution to the equation is a point on the political spectrum. So in an ideal world, you say, these are my ideal outcomes. I plug those numbers and those parameters into the equation, and then I can, find out which political ideology I need to use to achieve my outcomes.
Is this going to be your? Are you going to change the topic of your PhD thesis now?
Well, no, I'd have to do this. I'd have to do another PhD to do this. I'd probably have to do a politics degree beforehand. I just have, yeah. I don't know. Listener, if I think, please get in touch.
I understand how your brain, being the way it is, has arrived at this conclusion on how to solve politics.
Maybe
I'm about to say what you're already thinking, that there is a fundamental flaw, because there was a step during that process in which the designers of the experiment have to come up with their desired outcomes.
Yes.
And how do you do that? Well, you have a political debate about you want.
There is always a degree of subjectivity. Yeah. You have to make a value judgment of why something, what is left wing and what is more left wing, and what is right wing and what is more right wing.
Well, you could do it the other way around. So instead of finding the political ideology you need from your desired outcomes, you could find out what the outcomes would be for certain points. But then you'd have to interpret the outcomes subjectively. So what I've just proved mathematically, and very briefly, is that politics is subjective. I've just proved that.
We already knew that.
Yeah,
though.
But I just proved
so,
it.
So you've wasted 5 minutes of not just your own time, not just my time, not just Will's time, who's come here out of the goodness of his heart to be a guest on our podcast.
I mean,
and as it turns out, potentially a permanent member of the cast. We don't know. But you have wasted the time of the listener.
Yeah, but you can edit all that out. So, that's the beauty of this system.
I'm loath to edit things out of this podcast, because I think ultimately it's just a reflection of our personalities,
and the thing is,
Instagram does enough personality censorship.
It does.
These days.
It does. And the thing is, I employed a recorder sort of broadcaster tactic, and it's, if you mention the edit, then you're not allowed to touch that bit in the edit. like you see on panel shows all the time, that joke won't make it in. But they always have to put it in, because it's really funny when someone says that won't make it in.
Fourth wall breaking.
Yeah, I'm breaking that. I mean, to be honest, because this is a podcast, I think there's only two walls.
Are you saying the audio is two dimensional and video is three dimensional?
No, this is six walls, because no one can see us from any direction.
Six walls
of a cube.
Oh right, so we're in a box.
We're in a box. No one can see us. We exist entirely within ourselves. So viewers, we just broke one of the six walls. Take your pick.
Well, this got very meta very quickly.
It did. Yeah. I've got a headache.
You've got a headache?
Yeah. Been out in the sun a lot today. Oh.
It's not been sunny. What are you talking
about?
No,
it has. It has been down here. Down Derbyshire way. That was Yorkshire.
Down Derbyshire way. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I don't know what that accent is. In Yorkshire, as it always is, it's awful.
Well, they say the weather's going to be getting better. Maybe we could introduce a weather forecast as part of this podcast.
Yes. Okay. Here's the Brothers Bryant weather forecast.
It's going to be all right.
There will be weather.
There will be weather.
There we go. Well, can there ever not be weather?
This is an excellent question. And I think, as with our previous topic, it's subjective. Because weather as a verb, to weather something, means to kind of break, to kind of wear it away. over time, usually. So, like, the weather, it weathers, you know, cliff faces and things like that. You know, the White Cliffs of Dover didn't get that way for nothing, you know. You know, things like that. Now, now imagine this. It's partly cloudy. It's about 18 degrees. There's no wind. There's no rain. Okay, and it's 12 o'clock in the day. Is that having a weathering effect?
I think all you've managed to explain here is that the word weather has two meanings.
Congratulations. Nick, are you feeling okay? Because usually on these podcasts, you say something at least vaguely intelligent, and that hasn't happened yet.
Do you know what? I'm struggling to kind of get those thoughts to the front of my head at the moment. There's something clouding my judgment, clouding my, you know, my conversation today. I don't know what it is.
Brexit.
Brexit. I haven't thought about...
The weather.
The weather. The weather
Brexit. Is cloudy, so it's clouding your judgment also.
Fallacy, if you will.
Pathetic fallacy. Now, that is a very interesting term, isn't it? Pathetic fallacy. Now, because you get taught this term in like GCSE English, and everyone, in year 9, when everyone hears the term pathetic fallacy, everyone goes, ooh, that's a fancy word, and then everyone can use it in an essay. And then you go, well, what does it mean? And the teacher goes, well, it's when the weather is sort of reflected by the mood of whoever you're talking about. So, you know, the man was sad, it was raining. It's pathetic fallacy.
It's like the eternal kind of rain cloud over following someone over their head imagery. Yeah. But it's classic.
Think about the thing with pathetic fallacy, though, is it sounds like a very specific or rather it's a term for an incredibly specific, like, fictional technique. But if you, like, watch movies and TV shows and read books and things, it is everywhere. Like, it's that there is no sad scene in which the weather is not somehow, you know, a part of the storyline or something. It's just it seems so overused and obvious, and yet it's so effective. It's very strange.
I mean, as we know, it is always sunny in Philadelphia, and that's a very happy show. You know, not often does it, you know, rain or snow or hail or anything. It's always sunny.
You know, this is actually a huge difference between British and American TV. On American TV, unless it's a very specific instance of someone being very sad and they need to paint the picture of sadness, and it'll be raining, and that'll be very kind of obvious and deliberate. It will always be sunny on American TV. Whereas if you watch something like, I think the best example is The Inbetweeners, which is very gritty and realistic and a brilliant kind of portrayal of British teenage culture in 2008 or something. It's always cloudy because that's just what it was like, and it's
what the weather
all.
Is.
Yeah. it's a very kind of big difference between British and American TV. And for American TV is like escapism and idealism.
Yeah.
And British TV is reality.
So do you think that in the US, when they shoot TV outdoors, do you think they, like, wait for a sunny day for that to happen? Or like, try and edit it so that it looks sunny, or use different techniques to make the weather look better?
I have no idea. I'm not a filmmaker.
Good, because we shouldn't talk about things we know about.
This is the exact kind of thing we need to be talking about, things about which we haven't a clue.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I think that's really interesting.
But, like, I think there's also an advantage in the UK. If you want to film a grey, cloudy day, you are very likely to find
spoiled for choice, really.
We are spoiled for choice.
Any given day.
But, like, somewhere that's grey and cloudy.
So, like, it's like in Australia. In Australia, this is one of the craziest phrases you can hear if you go to Australia, if you're a British person. Shall we have a barbecue next weekend?
It's terrifying.
To a British person, that sounds crazy. Like, as yeah. if anyone's worked at like Aldi or Lidl or Asda or anywhere, they will know that if they stock up barbecues, they'll be sat in stock for like 6 months, and then one day they will all be gone because people realize they get up in the morning and go, hey, it's 12 degrees, and then they run to Aldi and then they grab a barbecue and they throw every single piece of food they have on it and they invite all their friends over. Not in COVID,
this obviously. Is exactly what happened in the shop in which I work. We have a big stock of barbecues that we sold on one day, and well, the rest have been sitting there the entire time.
And I bet we got
them in stock just as the weather started to go bad again.
I bet you had exactly the same conversation, like, you know, that sort of the little bit of small talk banter you have with customers.
Yes,
and I bet you had exactly the same conversation with all of them. And either you or they went, oh, just making the most of the weather. You know, it's finally sunny. You go, yeah, it is. And you have that conversation every single time with like 300 different people.
After you've had your hair cut and everyone you meet says, oh, have you had your hair cut? And you go, yes, I have.
Yeah,
you have that conversation.
Everyone thinks that the jokes that you hear, as you know, the jokes that they tell you in a shop kind of situation, are comedic genius and unique in every way, and they're exactly the same as what every single customer has said that day. If something doesn't scan, oh, it must be free then. And then you just have to go, hey, yeah, good one, yeah. This is a public service announcement.
To the listener.
To the hundreds of thousands of listeners I'm sure we will have on this show, please stop saying the same jokes over and over again to retail employees, because we've heard them all before, and you're not funny and you're not clever, you're just annoying. Thank you. Mic drop. Good day.
Wow. So Will's just annoyed all of our listeners.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Listeners, you know, please write in with your favourite moments from retail. maybe you've shared a joke or two with your local convenience store owner, and you formed that kind of sentimental attachment to them. And
they secretly hate you.
There are no genuine relationships in retail. It's just hate. Is that what we're saying?
If the relationship is built on the kind of jokes that I imagine Barry says all the time, for the viewer, Barry is our stepdad. If they weren't already aware,
he is the archetypal
archetypical dad joke.
Yeah, make these kind of dad jokes. you know, the best thing to do is just not be so self-conscious and be a normal human being.
You know, you see, there's no such thing as a normal human being. Everyone's got their superpower, and this is a. I might have talked about this before, but if you take sort of average data from lots and lots of people. So you collect like people's heights, their, you know, palm diameters, shoulder breadth, things like that, and you find the average sort of body, then no one in the world will have that body. It's a paradox.
And if they did, they wouldn't be the normal person, because that would be extraordinary.
Hold up.
Because if you took the average person and they were average in every single way, that would not be normal. That would be a normal person. That would be an extraordinary case of the most average person.
That is very true.
That is really true.
Nick doesn't understand
my
that.
My intelligence just isn't working today. It's just not happening for me today. Can we talk about silly things?
All right, Nick, you pick a silly thing to talk about, and we'll talk about that.
Can we talk about how actually in Tom and Jerry, Jerry was like the enemy?
Okay, explain this to me. So Tom is the cat.
Tom is the cat,
and Jerry is the mouse.
Jerry's the mouse. And basically, for those of you who haven't watched Tom and Jerry, because I don't know, You've been living under a rock.
They're uncultured swine.
Yeah. If you listener,
Will, are you just out to get everyone to stop listening to this because you've insulted our entire listenership?
Let me just
alienating the viewership.
Insulting the viewership is not a retention strategy.
Although I guess it worked for Jeremy Clarkson.
I suppose it did.
Well, what if our viewership is entirely masochists?
Well,
if you're a masochist, please do write.
Please go to anchor.fm/brothersbryant and send us a voice message.
Or you could send us a letter, a handwritten letter written with your own blood.
No, guys, this whole podcast can't just be us asking people to write to us.
Why not?
Although
if we do
get enough feedback, it could be like an agony aunt. You know, I'd love to do that. Because you know, I have experienced agony, and I have an aunt,
I'm fully qualified.
Nick, please tell us about Tom and
Jerry. Tom and Jerry. So, for those of you who haven't watched Tom and Jerry, it's a cartoon. Used to run sort of in the late 90s. I'm pretty sure it ran a bit before that as well.
It's significantly.
It's quite older than
that.
Well, I knew it from the late 90s, and it's about a cat called Tom, short for Thomas, I imagine. And a mouse called Jerry, which could be short for Jeremiah,
Gerard,
yeah. Garibaldi, any of the above. And basically it's about, you know, the classic superlative misadventures of a cat trying to oust its resident rodent. I think the intelligence is coming back. I'm using good words here. And basically, Jerry always wins. In all these sort of fracas that the two have, Jerry always wins and Tom always ends up, you know, trashing the house and slicing his tail off and causing himself immense pain. And all the children, they watch this show and they go, ha, 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 isn't Tom an idiot? I want to be like Jerry when I grow up. I want to be really annoying and cause people lots of pain and laugh about it in the process. And as you get older, you realise that Tom really is the victim in that.
This is...
Well, it depends who the initial aggressor was, really.
Well,
if Jerry is only reacting to Tom's initial attempts to do what cats like to do to mice, which is, you know... destroy and eat them. Then I would argue that all Jerry is doing is acting in ever increasing self defense. You know, and it's one of those. It's escalation, isn't it? The more Tom tries to catch Jerry, and the harder he tries, and the more wacky, crazy tactics that he uses, the smarter Jerry has to get. In his self defense.
Is that the premise of the show?
Just like the Cold War.
So now Tom and Jerry is like a metaphor for the Cold War.
I'm sure if you Google that,
there will be a Google scholar, like someone will have published a thesis about the similarities between Tom and Jerry and the events of the Cold War.
There is a YouTube video called Cold War in a Nutshell Explained by Tom and Jerry.
Goodness me.
I think I made that.
He's self-advertising here.
Yes.
But it is interesting. Kids cartoons, they explore some quite strange and often, you don't realise, but quite deep themes.
Do you know which the deepest and most terrifying of the children's cartoons is?
Go on.
Captain Underpants.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
Do you mean deep as in given because it's underwater?
Way.
For goodness sake.
You see, that's the kind of joke that that I hate people for.
I am a dad in every sense of the word, except I don't have any children.
I was going to say that would be a nonchalant way of announcing yours and Chloe's pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
I think
just to be clear though, it would not be me who would be pregnant.
Yeah, I was going to say,
and I do have I I I'm, you know, people can have do whatever they like in their relationships, but when Chloe does get pregnant, I will not be taking the credit for being pregnant, because I don't think that's the right thing to do.
So you don't, anyway.
There are people that say we're pregnant, don't they?
We're yes, pregnant. Yeah. We're having a baby, and then like the wife is like 9 months pregnant.
It's me having a baby.
Like, yeah, we're having a baby, but it's not you. Who's gonna be like bleeding in a hospital bed for the next 10 hours. Anyway, Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry. No, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Now, I don't really know enough about SpongeBob SquarePants. I suppose, you know, it's a microcosm of the barriers facing coming of age for many people, because SpongeBob, if you didn't know, it's probably in his mid-30s.
Really?
Yeah.
My understanding was he was like a teenager.
Yeah, I thought he was like 16 or so.
No, I think that's based on how long the show has been going for. There's no way.
Cartoon characters typically don't age. Like Bart Simpson has been 10 for the last 30 years.
Yeah, and what's interesting is there have definitely been more than 365 episodes of that show.
Yes.
And none of them have aged. So, you know, it doesn't make an awful lot of sense.
So SpongeBob is an interesting one. I actually think Winnie the Pooh, which was obviously a book before, and then Disney bought it and did a bunch of stuff with it. All of the characters from Winnie the Pooh suffer from a particular mental health issue.
Yeah, they represent them, don't they?
So, for example, Winnie the Pooh obviously really, really likes to eat honey and gets quite upset when he doesn't have honey, mm-hmm. or when he runs out of honey. So he is suffering from addiction. Piglet suffers with social anxiety. I think the rabbit has OCD and things like that. You know, there are quite detailed studies about around the behaviour of the Winnie the Pooh characters and how they kind of each suffer from these mental health conditions, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot to kind of look into in these seemingly innocent and surface level.
SpongeBob is very similar in that regard, but it goes even further. All this knowledge of SpongeBob and its deep hidden meanings, it comes from my 3 a.m. YouTube rabbit hole binges that have landed me on some quite strange YouTube channels that talk about SpongeBob fan theories and things like that. And a theory goes that Patrick Starr actually suffers from multiple personality disorder, and some of his multiple personalities are highly intelligent, and even they're very manipulative and, you know, narcissistic personality disorder and things like that. But he also has personalities that are morons, you know. And that's what he usually is portrayed as, is a bit of a moron, yeah. Very slow in the head. But there are little bits of evidence that he switches personalities and becomes a super intelligent, kind of manipulative psychopath.
There you go. Word. You heard it here first, unless you watch his YouTube videos.
I can't remember the name of the YouTube channel, unfortunately, to give it credit. But I'm sure some searching will send you down a fascinating YouTube rabbit hole of.
If you are the listener and you have seen these videos, please send us a message with a link to the videos, because I'm fascinated by this.
Please do.
There's also a theory that Krabby Patties are made out of the whale meat of Pearl's dad. Or mum.
Wait, Pearl's dad. Pearl's dad is Mr. Krabs.
No, Pearl's adopted.
What?
Come on, Nick. Keep up.
I mean, you know, how does a crab father a whale?
You don't question. It's a cartoon. You don't question things like that.
Well, Nick, it's because you don't question things like that.
Well, I didn't question the fact that
haven't discovered the deeper meaning.
I didn't question the fact that they also had a deep fat fryer under the sea. You know,
oil
is water miscible. It's fine.
Yeah, but you can't heat. And also, they talk.
You.
Apparently the intelligence and the talking is due to some kind of US government nuclear experiments.
Everything is because of the US government.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
So you're saying Bikini Bottom is the only place under the sea in that universe where the fish, etc., can talk and.
I don't think it's the only place, but there is evidence of. In fact, in some episodes, they show normal fish that don't talk or anything like that.
This is very. Yeah. All of Spunder was available on Netflix. I'm obviously going to have to do some extensive research.
I'm afraid. Only a few seasons.
Oh no!
The more recent seasons are on Netflix.
Where do you have to go for the OG episodes?
Oh, I couldn't possibly say.
No.
Oh, I see.
You can do your own Google searches, listener.
This is my first episode on the show, and
you've alienated our listeners twice and recommended piracy.
And I've also set myself up as I've presented myself as some kind of SpongeBob SquarePants conspiracy nut job. Yeah. And that's what I'm into. That's what people are going to get from this is that I'm a weirdo.
These are the reasons, dear listener, why we usually keep Will in a box and don't talk about.
No, we don't mean that the metaphysical box that we normally record in. We don't mean that.
I live in an actual box.
An actual cardboard box.
Basically.
Six very real walls.
Oh no, I can't afford a roof.
Oh no!
Why don't you just climb out the box
or turn it upside down? Then use the floor as one of the walls.
Oh my god! You've literally turned my life.
You're a genius. Oh no!
Well, I'm glad I could be of some help.
Oh no! That was just a series of just terrible, terrible things.
A series of unfortunate events.
It was a series of unfortunate events. Did anyone watch that show?
The Netflix
show?
One. I've seen it twice. Yeah.
Mate, have you not seen that there's a Series of Unfortunate Events TV show on Netflix?
There's a Series of Unfortunate Events series?
Yes.
Honestly, well worth watching.
I
guess you must have read some of the books as a child.
Me?
I certainly
read
did.
Books?
I remember reading them.
Do you even know me, brother?
Not really. You've been living under a box books. For the last 12 years.
Well, no, he hasn't. He's been living inside a box, for 5 years. Well, yes, there is. It was a Netflix original that came out a couple of years ago, and there's three seasons of it, and it stars Neil Patrick Harris as Count Olaf.
Ooh.
It's really, really good.
Extremely good.
Is it better than the film?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I think
it's a more it's more faithful to the books than the film is. I think the film. This is the 2004 film with Jim Carrey.
Yes.
I think that is an excellent film, but. It was trying to wrap the first three books into a nice, satisfying story. It had to mess around with a few plot points and things like that.
Yeah, and it misses out most of, you know, it's only the first three books out of 13, so
yeah,
it really is
the series is really, really good. For a number of reasons, it's just worth watching. Yeah. Just watch.
It's one of the only TV shows, and I might say the only TV show that's ever made me cry.
Really?
Yeah.
Look
forward to that, viewer.
Well,
listen.
That's next in line after I've finished binging SpongeBob. Then.
Yes, it is. It is definitely worth watching. Yes. Okay. Well, we've been recording for roughly. The designated period of time. If you are still listening, we applaud your resilience.
Yeah.
In just filling your brain with garbage for 45
minutes.
Or
let us know if you just have us on in the background while you're making toast in the morning. Let us know how you listen
on
to
on
us.
Breakfast TV.
Are
we now a breakfast podcast? So
we're
now, on
we might,
a,
well,
next
be a
episode,
breakfast
are we going to make breakfast?
The beauty of a podcast in
podcast.
The beauty of the podcast is. It can be any time of day you want. It could be your
yes.
It could be your morning wake up. Imagine waking up with us.
We could be your alarm clock.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
We could be your evening, you know, with a glass of wine. Tell us how do you listen to us?
I imagine most people who would stumble upon this podcast and listen to it would end up listening to it, crying their eyes out, having a mental breakdown, and chugging lots and lots of beer.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how I imagine because most people that's their current mental state.
That's how I've got through it.
Because listening to us makes people realise that their lives really are not that bad.
I mean, yeah, I live in a box. Come on, guys.
Without a roof. On that terrible disappointment, I think we'll leave it there. If you are listening and you have made it to the end, it would be wonderful if you could go and give us a rating on... It can be... To be fair, if you want to give us a one-star rating, I wouldn't blame you.
No.
But feel free to go and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, by the way, just launched a subscription service. You can subscribe to podcasts and do your podcast people can give you extra content if you subscribe. So if you want to pay to listen to more of us talking, then that might happen
at
some point.
For some godforsaken reason.
Yeah. But yes, also make sure that you are subscribed in the podcast app of your choice. And if you want to send us a message, either in text or audio form, you can go to anchor.fm, Anchor being the thing that you drop in the sea to stop a boat from moving. anchor.fm/brothersbryant, and then you can tell us what you think of what you've just heard. Thanks, Will, for joining us. The third Bryant. Mm-hmm. Technically, you're the second Bryant. But
well, this has been fascinating. Yeah,
on a number of levels.
Yeah.
Yes, and Nick, I won't thank you because you don't deserve it.
No, I don't really. I'll be better next time.